I see several people missing, but I don't know what to do about that. Okay. So the next item on the agenda is the resolution on listener recall, which was submitted by Mal Bernstein. I'm going to ask Mal to read the motion and motivate it, and then we'll have a discussion and vote. Okay. Oh, give him this mic. Oh, he's got a mic.
I've got one.
Good.
Whereas the Pacifica Foundation so delayed the conduct of the recall of Tracy Rosenberg that the Alameda County Superior Court declared it a probable violation of California law and thus enjoined the counting of ballots already received, and whereas the court left open the possibility of establishing a new record date and mailing new ballots based on the signatures already collected, and whereas the recall is a fundamental right given to foundation members by the foundation bylaws, and whereas the erroneous handling of the recall election so far is solely the responsibility of the Pacifica Foundation and not that of the foundation members who successfully petitioned for the recall, therefore the KPFA LSB hereby petitions the Pacifica PNB and the Pacifica ED to immediately set a new record date and immediately mail new ballots based on the signatures already collected so that the recall election may be finally conducted following the Pacifica bylaws. It seems to me the motion is self-evident. KPFA listener members who pay the station every year have the right established in the bylaws to petition for a recall election. You may disagree with the merits of the recall or the wisdom of having it, but the fact is that it is in the bylaws. Sufficient number of members have signed the petition for the recall, and therefore it is incumbent upon us, it seems to me, just as a matter of the democratic governance of the foundation, to have their petition acted on in such a way that they get the right to vote one way or the other. You can disagree with the reasons for the recall and all that, but it is a simple democratic principle that if the foundation members have the right, petition correctly and successfully, the foundation should not, by its inaction or malaction, deny them that right. So we should call upon the foundation to honor that right and conduct the recall.
Okay, floor is open for discussion. Oh, I'm sorry, is there a second to Mal's motion?
Second.
Okay, motion's been seconded. Thank you. Okay, Andrea, anybody else? Janet, okay, go ahead. Pass the microphone.
Well, I appreciate that you motivated, that the author of the resolution motivated the resolution with the idea that it's about governance, and I agree with you. I agree. I'm really irritated and frustrated by the way that the recall was handled, mishandled. But I do think it matters also that the recall was initiated because of political intentions. And I think that on some level, when a resolution is initiated because with that sort of intention, it evokes a political response. And it's my understanding that there were challenges to who would be the recall election supervisor that came from both sides of the aisle, that folks couldn't agree. And that by having a politically motivated recall, because Tracy Rosenberg has done no act of misconduct, that she's violated no bylaws. She's, despite the propaganda that one can find on the internet that is factually inaccurate and actually misinforms the public, despite all of that, the recall recall process was being abused, I feel. And so it evoked the kind of reaction, a kind of dug-in reaction that one might expect. and the forces of action and reaction came into play. And so now we have a screwed up recall, and now we sit here saying we can't have the Pacifica National Board meet because of financial reasons, but we have the money because we want to discipline the PMB. And you know who we hurt? We hurt our listeners. We hurt ourselves. And that's the kind of political gaming that you guys, we've got to rise above. And I really would ask folks, I agree. I'm totally with you. I think it's an insult the way that the recall was mishandled. But it's also an insult that it was initiated for less than, I would say, honorable intention. So I'm going to vote no on this.
Okay. Janet, followed by Matthew.
Sure. So I ditto everything that Andrea said, and just talking more about the cost of this. Sasha, when the discussion about the PNB live meetings went on, she said every cost must be saved, and emphatically, this is going to cost at least the same or more, and it's an unbudgeted amount, and so was the recall that I had asked Barbara, where did it show up in the budget, and it's there's still bills, and so it's going to be, I don't know, I'm guessing something like total, it would be over $60,000 just for the last attempt, and if this goes forward, where does that money come from? Is there going to be a special fundraising day just to raise the money to pay for that?
Okay, so on the list I have Con, followed by Sasha. Anyone else? Tracy. Okay, go ahead, Con.
Well, in Andrea's opinion, this is an ill-considered. That's what democracy is about. So you have multiple opinions, and you argue about them, and then you vote on them. But one thing you cannot do is deny people the right to vote. And what has happened in this organization is that we have lost the ability to control our own station. We have lost it to the PNB, and now essentially what we're doing is we're turning around to a significant portion of our membership, and you're saying, oh, you want a recall? Tough. It's really too expensive. You know, we're just going to ignore the bylaws because it's expensive. Well, you know, democracy sometimes is expensive. And the fact of the matter is, it wasn't equal sides that delayed this. It was the PNB. They put roadblock after roadblock after roadblock. This absolutely falls on them. You cannot tell our listeners they don't have a right to express their opinion on this. That is the ultimate nadir of democracy. And we have to do something about it. And I don't care what your opinion is on the recall. Vote against it. Absolutely. Organize against it. But you can't tell people they don't have the right.
Sasha, followed by Tracy.
Here's a mic. So I'd really like to second what Khan said, and I won't repeat it completely. I'd like to correct Janet. I didn't say every penny counts. I said when I gave the example of the $5,000 it costs for online voting that summer cut out of the budget, that was an example of the kind of financial problems that Pacifica has, that they even took $5,000, a $5,000 item that would save us money, that was the reason, out of the contract in the last moment because they were unable to sign the contract with the election firm. So I'd like to be quoted accurately, please. You know, we promised people during our pledge drive that we're in right now that give us money and you can vote. That's one of our promises over and over and over again on the air. Become a voting member. I have to say that I found Andrea's comments very politically based. There are bunches of people who thought that actually one member of this board stepped outside of her role as a board member in doing things. And I'm not going to point them out to you here because that would be political, as you did. But, you know, 900 or so, as I understand it, people signed a petition. That's a very large number. And they deserve the right to vote. The fact that the Pacifica Foundation, in, I would say, a political act, of which Ms. Rosenberg sits on their executive committee, chose to stall and stall and stall and stall and stall once again the sending of those ballots. Now they have to fix that. And one of the ways they could possibly is to use this upcoming election to put the whatever additional ballots need to be mailed out, to put them in an envelope to the people who have the right to vote, and then it wouldn't cost very much more at all.
Tracy, followed by Dan.
There is no executive committee of the PNB, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Officers.
The treasurer is not an officer. It's in the bylaws. It is a jurisdictional issue the PNB will have to decide. It's not an LSB issue, and I presume they will. You've had two consecutive executive directors inform you that if it were up to them, they would cancel the entire LSB collection because the stations cannot afford it. I don't favor that. I think you have to figure out a way to do it. But you need to understand how little money there is in all of these stations, and KPFA included. You've had two consecutive people tell you that the foundation is putting itself into jeopardy, and that two consecutive collections in 2012 and 2013 are an extreme financial burden. And the recall was, in fact, stopped by the court. There was a previous recall against Brian Edwards Tekerts that was staff-driven. It is worth saying that was also delayed for a year and a half by the PNB, longer period of time than this one was on the other political side of the fence. And after it finally happened a year and a half later, the Pacifica Council required that the recall petition be submitted with all new signatures because it was out of date. And I remember the conversation about why that was necessary. So I am afraid that if your recommendation is followed, there would be yet another injunction and TRO on that basis. So you should understand that if the money's spent and if this whole thing goes forward, the results might not end up that different. What else to say? Well, I think that under the circumstances, because these charges keep being made and keep being put out, including in public, and they're factually incorrect, that it's appropriate at this point in time to say that the recall ballots were set to go out in December. A recall supervisor was selected. Nobody was blocking it. And Nia Bediako of the Justice and Unity Caucus in New York, who is a partner and an ally to the Save KPFA faction, blocked the appointment of that recall supervisor and delay the recall collection to make assumptions that that was done by me or people allied with me is simply defamation. It's simply a lie. And I think that we're really past the point where we can deal with complex issues by lying about them. So I want to make it extremely, extremely clear what happened. It was misguided. It wasn't done by me. And it wasn't done by anyone that I would consider an ally, a colleague, a supporter, or anything else. Having happened, I believe you have pretty much run out of time on this recall. And it's really just a question of how much more money is going to be thrown away.
Okay. Dan, followed by Jack.
You know, there's so much to say. I mean, I think this whole recall thing is a major pain in the butt. I've thought that from the beginning. It's one of these situations, though, where it's happened, and I agree with Mal and Khan that under the rules, the vote should happen, and it was stopped. And without getting into a huge amount of debate, the thing that just really drives me up the wall about Tracy is lack of disregard for being candid and open with people. Even the last comment, the PNB has no executive committee. The PNB has a coordinating committee. It is exactly an executive committee. It makes all sorts of decisions. It's just the way in which you constantly avoid being candid and honest with us is what really makes it hard to work with you. And that's where it's at.
Jack, followed by Mal. Anybody else want to be on the list? Okay.
So...
Well, that's all right.
I want to...
I'll take that point of personal privilege then.
No. You didn't ask for it, so let's... I'll put you on the speaker's list for the second round, okay?
No, let me do it as a point of personal privilege. You can let the next speaker go, but Mal's right. When someone singles you out by name, there should be a point of personal privilege.
Fine.
You have to respond if you don't want to.
Be my guest.
Okay. Why would she miss an opportunity to speak?
You're right.
Go ahead, Tracy.
The coordinating committee is the meaning of the word executive committee is the officers of the foundation. The officers of the foundation are the chair of the board, the vice chair of the board, the CFO, and the secretary. And I am none of those things, and the coordinating committee does not consist entirely of those people. I'm on the coordinating committee as KPFA's representative, not as an officer of the foundation. And to say something like that, Dan, well, that's an honesty and a candidness problem on your part. So we're all guilty of it. And to be honest, you're right. The recall is a pain in the ass, and it's worse than that. It's a waste of resources that are so scarce and becoming scarcer that it really is a criminal act to disguise a political attack, which is all this is. It's just a political thing about getting extra seats on the PNB and so on as some sort of act of democracy. It's just really reprehensible.
Yes.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
Were you named?
The name is that I've just been accused of committing a crime.
No, you missed part of that. That's true. You didn't
hear. I've just been accused of committing a crime. I just want to ask Tracy whether or not she is accusing me of committing a crime.
I don't know, Con. What did you do?
Are you accusing me of committing a crime?
I'm asking you what you think you've done with regards to the
recall.
What you
said was this was a criminal act.
Put your microphone down.
I said the recall is a criminal use of resources. That is what it is.
So okay. That means that the people who support the recall are guilty of a criminal act.
Okay.
I just want to get that straight.
Okay, it's on the record. Right. It's on the record. Stop.
They're guilty of supporting.
Tracy, please put your microphone down.
Oh,
Tracy, put your microphone down, please.
Look at this.
We're
crap.
Moving on. I'm sorry. We're moving.
Yes, on. It's a criminal waste of resources. Put it on the record, Con. It's obvious to.
Excuse me. I thought I was next.
Yeah. Oh, you're right, Jack.
Okay, so I want to speak to two things. First of all, there is the cost of the recall. So we have an LSB election coming up, and adding the recall to the LSB election costs nothing. Excuse me, I have the floor. I have the floor. The cost of adding the recall to the LSB election costs nothing. And the issue, therefore, is not a matter of cost. It's simply another line. It's another line on a ballot. That's the first thing. The second thing has to do with the argument having to do with resources that two successive executive directors have said, oh, gee, We don't have the resources to conduct an LSB election. All right? How come? Well, for some number of years now, the executive director, the previous executive director, and chief financial officer have overseen a financial process in the national office with a chair of a finance committee that has driven the network close to bankruptcy because of a misallocation of resources down a sinkhole. So the argument that somehow or other we're wasting resources here is, you know, kind of bizarre and convoluted. Third, democratic process is democratic process, whether or not you like it. Whether or not you like it. Everything is political. There is no such thing as a non-political act in a democratic process. Finally, in previous remarks, it has been essentially threatened, one last sentence, it has been essentially threatened that putting this recall on the LSB battle is going to end us back in court. If that's the case, let it happen.
I would like to address a couple of points. One is the line in the pending motion that reads, the court left open the, quote, possibility of establishing a new record date and mailing new ballots based on the signatures already collected, close quote, demonstrates that the Superior Court judge recognized that this was a matter of democratic process within the foundation, and if they did it right, by just setting a new record date and sending out ballots, that would be acceptable. Second, I would like to bring the subject back to the issue of the motion, the democratic rights of the members of the foundation that signed the petition. Who is going to tell them that because the foundation screwed it up, that they no longer have the right that the bylaws guaranteed them? Isn't it incumbent upon this board that represents those members to speak up and defend their rights no matter what side of the recall you happen to be on? How can you tell them in good faith that they don't have the right to vote for something that the foundation bylaws gives them the right to, that they've signed the petitions, and that the process was correctly done up to the foundation? On what basis do you tell them that they don't have that right? You say it's too expensive, or, gee, it's political, and we don't agree with you? I don't think that flies. I really don't, and I don't think that you should take that upon yourself. Lastly, I would like to say that it doesn't sit right that the subject of the recall spends a lot of our time talking about how expensive it is for the foundation.
So I have on the speakers list Pam, followed by Cynthia, who are both first-time speakers, and the first person on the second-time list is Andrea. Is there anyone else who would like to be on the list? Okay, Kate. Anybody else? You're sitting next to each other. Matthew. Okay. So we have first... And Anthony. Yeah, so we have first-time speakers, Pam, Cynthia, Kate, Matthew and Anthony, and then Andrea on the second round. Okay? All right. Moving forward, Pamela.
Mine is brief. to the person who's spoken the most minutes combined of every other member during the meeting and ignored each and every time her time limits, can you be more self-serving?
Probably.
Cynthia followed by Kate. Pass Cynthia a microphone. Thank you.
I just don't recognize some of these statements. I mean, we're not setting a very good example for the people who are potentially on our board. I just heard my esteemed colleague say that somehow the PNB, these last 2 years that I have been a little more involved, was responsible for all this financial stuff. I mean, to me, the PNB, maybe they have some failings, but they have saved this station. I think there is an entitled group that, I mean, first of all, this entitled group started this whole thing. They blocked the whole thing. Nevertheless, democracy, democracy. I mean, come on. Let's try to grow up and be grown-ups and human beings and try to tell the truth and look at who. And seriously, it is going to cost money. Of course it's going to cost money. I mean, I'd like an explanation, a detailed explanation. Jack says it's not going to cost any money, but I just can't believe that's going to happen. So it hasn't happened before, so why can't... I mean, we need legal opinions. I mean, I'm just stunned by some of these statements, and et cetera. So...
Thank you. Kate, followed by Matthew.
Well, I'm so jaded by being on this board that I don't even think this discussion is worth having, because I'm sure none of us are persuaded by one another, which is a sorry and sad state of affairs in a group that has a common goal. And I will not try to persuade anybody. But I do have a genuine question. By what set of circumstances would the recall, if redone, not be challenged and not be struck down again? It's an honest question. I don't understand how once these ballots are, they're even older, they're even more questionable. I don't get it.
Okay.
If it's a legitimate question, the court has basically invited the foundation to successfully complete the recall by sending out additional ballots to those people who will be in the period from November through the date of the ballots being sent out. That may be 1,000, 2,000, 500, we don't know. But those ballots then would then be cast and added to the ballots already, thank you, lawyer, already collected and then counted as a whole.
But aren't there people who were sent ballots that aren't entitled to them?
No. What the judge said, as I read it, is that the ballots collected are valid because that was the period that was determined when the petitions were submitted, and that should have been the correct period. But because the ballots weren't sent out on time, there is an additional period that may have new voters that the court said should be allowed to vote. That's the way that I read the court's decision with 40-some years of experience.
Wants to speak. Thank you.
Yeah, we got two lawyers, three opinions, at least. Now, the way I think, first of all, that the point that Tracy's lawyers made in court was correct, okay? And basically, the point they made was that given the timing of the submission of the signatures and given the time when the ballots were sent out, there was point A and point B, and people had to be members between point A and point B, if they were members at any time between point A and point B, but that our point A and point B both needed to be moved, like a little bit, so that They were people who were allowed to vote who conceivably were no longer members at the starting point. If the court were to allow it, those ballots could all be taken out of the calculation because everybody's ballot on the envelope has a barcode on it. So you could say, well, between September 1st and October 1st, the following people who voted were no longer members. And then at the other end, there were some people who were entitled to vote who were not sent ballots because they became members after point B and before point C. Those people could be identified from the voter rolls and they could be sent ballots. So that would, I mean, I'm not going to pretend that there aren't other issues, though, that could be raised, that I presume that someone who didn't want this to happen could raise. I'm not going to help them. But there might be other points that could be raised which would have an effect of not allowing that scenario. But at least I think that's a reasonable response to Kate's question.
Okay. We're going to go back to the speakers list now. Thank you, Kate. Oh, were you finished? Did you? Yeah, okay. So now we have Matthew and then Anthony, still followed by Andrea, who's the first person on the second round. Okay, go ahead, Matthew.
I'll pass for now.
Okay, Anthony.
Well, I'm not a lawyer, but as to the statement that the court, left open, but that doesn't mean that's a green light. It means there's not a red light. It doesn't mean go ahead. It just means I think the court thought the issue was not put before it for resolution at that time, and that doesn't say what'll happen when the issue is brought before it. Much more fundamentally, there's this pretense in the room that this was somehow a sentiments which bubbled up from the grassroots, and we know that's not so. We know this was contrived. We know there was a campaign to get those signatures, a campaign accusing Tracy of things that she could not have done had she wanted to, because she is not, doesn't have executive authority. She doesn't hold an executive post. She is a member of the PNB. That these blaming her for the layoffs is preposterous, because she did not have the authority to carry out any such thing. That was done by executive authority. So let's get a little more honesty in the room.
Okay, the first and only person on the second round is Andrea. Okay, so it turns out I have two more people on the second round, right? Matthew and, Matthew, you passed before, so you're still on first round. So go ahead. Then, that's all right. I'm chairing this meeting. He's on the first round. He gets to go. Did you want to speak, Janet? So you're on first round as well. All right, so go ahead, Matthew, and then we'll hear from
Janet. Just go back to this whole thing about the idea that that there's something wrong with this effort to do a recall, because the people here don't believe that Tracy was guilty of the issues of the recall, as if that is enough then to abrogate a democratic effort that was supported by a legal number of people who wanted their rights realized in KPFA. That's incredible. That's basically what the argument is here. And the idea that this is something wrong with it because it was organized by a group of people, has there ever a recall done that wasn't organized by a group of people? Tracy had an opportunity and her supporters to fight this. We wanted to get a debate on the issue of what happened around the seizure of power in KPFA with Pacifica, and what the membership felt about that, what they felt about the things that Tracy had done and what she had pushed for. Since there was no way in which we had any power as a majority that had been elected by the listenership, this was a chance to give the listenership themselves a real opportunity. You have the opportunity to debate it and to put your case before them, and we would put our case before them. Instead, what was happened here was a derailing of a democratic effort. And all this stuff about it's political is insane. Of course it's political. I mean, it's just amazing. It's just simply go home and look at yourselves in the mirror.
Okay. Janet, followed by Andrea.
Yes, I basically had a question about something that one of the my colleagues brought up about just adding a line to the LSB ballot, that's how this could be done, and it's simple and wouldn't cost anything. And I don't understand how that could be done, or is that the way it could be done, and there would be, it would, anyway, so I'd like to hear more from the person who put this out, how that would work.
I think the idea is that those persons determined to be eligible under the judge's ruling to vote on the recall would be sent a separate piece of paper in the regular listener election, which would simply be a restatement of the recall ballot. It'd be fairly simple, be minimal cost, and since the regular election ballot isn't to go out for a while, there is plenty of time to do that. I think that's the answer to your question. If I'm misunderstanding the question, let me know.
I thought we weren't supposed to mention names, but it was Jack who brought this up, so I'd like Jack to respond, would he? If he would be willing to.
Jack? Do you want Janet asked a question about your comment that the issue could be resolved by adding a line to the listener ballot.
Yes.
And she questioned how that could be done.
By typewriter.
No, Jack.
They don't use typewriters anymore, Jack.
What?
Typewriters are over, man.
They are? When did that happen?
All right, enough. Do you have a response, Jack, to
yes,
Janet's
I
question?
Yes, I said that.
Okay.
By all right. Typewriter.
All right. I think you got a more responsive response from Mal, okay? Thank you. Andrea, you're up.
Look, I don't want the tale to be told that I believe, actually, I speak for many of my comrades here. It's not anti-democracy, but I think what's happening is I think it is about wisdom, and I think it is about responsible leadership. And let's be practical. Let's get down to it. Yes, we could have a pissing contest. Yes, we could have a little power struggle, and there could be winners and losers, and we could have a beer about it, either cry in it or celebrate. And meanwhile, the resources of this station are getting squandered. And if you talk about the practical realities, yes, let it go on record. The PMB botched it. They screwed it up. Make no mistake. And I support the fragile concept of democracy that we're dealing with here. And it is so fragile that we've even said that we don't want to have the one true entity that actually does seem to have power around here, and we said we don't want them to meet in public, because we're so worried about the finances. And I'm curious to find out what really is true for folks. Are you really concerned about the finances, or are you trying to diminish the power? Is this your political effort to diminish the power of the PMB? Is that what's happening? And I liked what you said, Mr. Hallinan, about this notion that it's not actually about Tracy, that it's about the power of local versus national, that there's a lot of other issues that we could have an honest conversation about, that we should have reports of the listeners, an interesting conversation that is about governance and is about democracy, and we could do all that. But the practical reality is that, I mean, if you try to put it on the LSB election, we run the risk of delaying the LSB election by some sort of court challenge. And so we could even screw up this fragile democracy even more, because everybody's fighting. And yeah, you know what? And if you were fighting for your reputation, you'd probably fight real hard. And you would probably dig in. And so to me, it's understandable that somebody would fight for their reputation when it gets so regularly maligned in this meeting. And
why not just change
And excuse me, I'm sorry. And so what I'm asking you guys is I'm asking folks to dig deep. Because do you think there's a year of that, of Ms. Rosenberg's term as 1 year? And think about the costs, think about the delays, and think about what you stand to gain and what we as a network stand to lose. And I ask you to just rise above and think about responsible leadership.
I have Tracy followed by Sasha. That's the end of my speaker's list. Is that really the end of my speaker's list?
Call the question.
You can't call the question. Okay.
I was going to call the question.
Oh, well.
Call the question.
No. Well, because it takes a two-thirds vote, and we're not going to have a two-thirds vote, and I don't want to go through this charade, okay? Thank you. Yeah.
Postage. I believe that the bylaws say you have to send out the whole bloody recall statement. You have to send out the whole bloody anti-recall statement to all the voters. So you are going to have to add a whole page to the LSB mailing. It's going to have to go to all the voters. That adds an ounce to the postage. That screws up the stuffing, which was going to be standardized. So you're talking about another $20,000, factually. You have the age of the signatures is an issue. KPFA's membership churn is generally about 28% to 33% per year. So a number of the individuals who signed that petition are no longer members, which means you'll probably run into the same kinds of legal problems that you ran into the first time around at this point in time. In response to the business about losses and fiscal responsibility in the national office, it's worth saying the biggest loss in the history of Pacifica was $2.975 million fiscal year 2009. So it had nothing to do with the previous two executive directors. It had to do with the folks who came before that. The judge said very clearly that he was not addressing the permissibility of sending out ballots on the signatures already collected. Those are the words, permissibility. So the permissibility is in question. I will say that I was sitting in the court and I saw the judge nod his head quite in agreement when my lawyer brought up the point that he did not believe that it was permissible. So it is my assessment that challenge would probably be won. In addition, when the judge was asked in a bit of comedy by Pacifica's attorney what would be done with the existing ballots if the preliminary injunction was upheld or if the tentative ruling was upheld, the judge used the word wallpaper. So I don't think Mal's interpretation is correct. The last thing I would say is, you know, we have a huge amount of voter and election alienation in this country. People don't vote. People make fun of politics. People are not politically engaged. And the reason for that is basically what we're doing, which is disguising what are essentially power struggles with a whole bunch of propaganda, alleging all kinds of things and accusations, batting back and forth. Costs that, if you count all of the junk mail postcards that have gone out, that are probably over $65,000, and now we're talking about adding more to send postcards. A vast majority of people who pitch them in the garbage 10 minutes after they get them. This kind of exercise of democracy, which I would call Grovian, is essentially why we don't have a politically engaged citizenry and why people make fun of elections. I was taking a look at the presidential debate, my Facebook scroll was going through, and I mean, guys, it's all sarcasm. People hate our political system, and they make fun of it. I don't see any reason for KPFA to go down that path.
Thank you.
It's not going to help.
Thank you. Okay. There are no more speakers on the list, so we are going to come to a vote. Okay. Am I right? There are no more speakers. I hear a lot of chatter, but nobody's raised their hand, so let's stop now. All right, we're ready to vote. I'm going to ask the secretary to take a roll call.
I'm not voting, by the way. Don't call me.
Okay, Trace is not voting.
Okay, Augemeier.
No.
Augemeier, no. Bernstein.
Yes.
Bernstein, yes. Drake.
Yes.
Drake, yes. Fest.
No.
Fest, no. Futren.
Yes.
Futren, yes. Gans. Gans, yes. Goldmacher. Goldmacher, not here. Con Hallinan.
Yes.
Con Hallinan, yes. Matthew Hallinan.
Yes.
Matthew Hallinan, yes. Johnson?
No.
Johnson, no. Coburn?
No.
Coburn, no. Kurzweil?
Yes.
Kurzweil, yes. Knorr, not here. Pritchett?
No.
Pritchett, no. Privis? Privis, not here. Rosenberg indicated not voting, abstain, correct?
No, recuse myself from the vote.
Okay. Not voting. Russell? Russell, not here. Sawyer? Sawyer, not here. Siegel?
Yes.
Siegel, yes. Sterling, not here. Aki Tanaka?
No.
Aki Tanaka, no. Kate Tanaka?
No.
Kate Tanaka, no. Turner, not here. Wilkinson?
I'll pass.
Wilkinson, pass or abstain? Or not vote?
I'm not voting.
Not voting, okay. And Withers is not here. So that is 8 yes, 7 no.
Okay, well, I'll vote yes in that case.
Okay.